But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. If you're like me, you just ironically celebrated the anniversary of America's Declaration of Independence, knowing that our State of the Union is monarchy.
Son of a bitch!
So we're going to do this episode a little bit differently, because we have a lot of shit to talk about. Let's begin, shall we? If you've been listening to this show for a while, you've probably heard me talk about Project 2025. If you have TikTok, you've probably run across videos talking about Project 2025. And if you were one of the millions of people watching this year's BET Awards show, you definitely heard the host with the most, Taraji P. Henson, say this.
Time for us to play chess, not checkers. It's about making decisions that will affect us as human beings, our careers, our next generations to come. Did you know that it is now a crime to be homeless? Pay attention. It's not a secret. Look it up. They are attacking our most vulnerable citizens. The Project 2025 plan is not a game. Look it up.
That woman is so not fucking wrong. In the most recent season of What Did the Bogus SCOTUS Rule On Now?, we found out a lot of shit that just screams in preparation of the king. And I think the shock and awe of all of this is best explained by showing you just how Project 2025 is unfolding right before our very eyes through the actions of six supremely maggot gestures occupying the third branch of our government. Red legislation all over half of our country. And Christian nationalist politicians spewing garbage because they know their base is eating it up. All paving the way for King Baby Coward's coronation come January 20th, 2025. So let's start with denial, because it's always fun to expose a liar.
Donald Trump chose today to try to distance himself from Project 2025. That's the 900-plus page document from conservative advisors at the Heritage Foundation, which lays out some pretty aspirational goals to reshape the federal government and, frankly, American life if Trump were to win in November. Well, on Truth Social today, Trump wrote, "I know nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who's behind it. I disagree with some of the things they're saying, and some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal. Anything they do, I wish them luck. But I have nothing to do with them."
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm wondering, could you explain to me how you can disagree with some of something that you know nothing about? Because that word salad sounds like you think everyone is as poorly educated as you are. Which is probably why Trader Orange came up with his own project. He's unoriginally calling Project 47. Because reinstalling a wannabe dictator always skips an election. And because Mayor McTreason isn't known for having an unplagiarized thought. Ever. Project 47 is a stupider version of implementing a Christian nationalist takeover than Project 2025 is.
Wonder what Trump will actually do if he gets back into office? He calls his plan Agenda 47. Here's some of the worst ideas we're in store for if he wins in November. He's promised to end birthright citizenship, enlist an army to round up and deport millions of undocumented immigrants, and deploy thousands of U.S. troops to the southern border. Trump says he'll ban gender-affirming care for trans kids and prevent schools from helping kids through their transition. He wants to forbid schools from even teaching anything about sex and gender that diverges from the far right's idea of the nuclear family. It's huge changes to the education system. He wants to give huge benefits for homeschooling to indoctrinate kids with Christian nationalism, incentivize teachers to carry guns in their classrooms. He promised to bring back racist policies like stop and frisk. He also wants to increase protections for power-abusing police while rolling back hard-fought-for reforms and institute the death penalty for low-level crimes. The scariest part might be Trump's threat to more or less dismantle the federal government. Going to purge anyone who could possibly stand up to him and replace them with MAGA loyalists. He's going to prosecute his political enemies using traditionally independent orgs like the DOJ as his own personal weapon and give himself unprecedented power over agencies like the FCC and FTC.
You know, that is fucking ironic. Because the three jesters he appointed to the Supreme Disaster joined with the other three maggots in robes to give Schittler just that. Control over every administrative agency in the government thanks to killing the Chevron deference. A power also mentioned in Project 2025. But, you know, never mind. I know why Trumple Thinskin is trying in the most stupid way possible to distance himself from Project 2025. It's because Dunscap Donnie's boy and cosplaying Q-tip, perfectly named Kevin Roberts, is the CEO of the Heritage Foundation and recently issued a not-so-veiled threat to anyone who is not a Christian nationalist.
We're in the process of taking this country back. The reason that they are apoplectic right now, the reason that so many anchors on MSNBC, for example, are losing their minds daily is because our side is winning. And so I come full circle in this response and just want to encourage you with some substance that we are in the process of the Second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be.
Oh, really? Bloodless if the left allows it, you say? What Baldy McSupremacist at the Heritage Foundation is so brazenly intimating is that their side is ready to use that new bump stock allowance the bogus GOTUS just declared to convert this Christian coup into an automatic theocracy this November. Or as North Carolina Lieutenant Governor and white rights' very own slave snitch Mark Robinson recently explained to a room full of cracker-ass nationalists.
You know, it was a time when we used to meet evil on the battlefield, and guess what we did to it? We killed it. We didn't quibble about it. We didn't argue about it. We didn't fight about it. We killed it. I didn't start this fight. You did. You wanted to be left alone? You should have left me alone. Some liberal somewhere is going to say that sounds awful. Too bad. Get mad at me if you want to. Some folks need killing. It's time for somebody to say it. It's not a matter of vengeance. It's not a matter of being mean or spiteful. It's a matter of necessity. We have wicked people doing wicked things. It's time to call out those guys in green and go have them handle them. Or those boys in blue and have them go handle it.
Oh, Mr. Robinson, I bet you feeling mighty brave. You know what I find hilarious about Mikey here? Is that he probably thinks he is safe in those North Carolina cities like Bakersville and Graham County and the other 14 sundown towns in North Carolina because he's stumping for the supremacy. Which explains everything that you need to know about people like Mike. But it's not just the token members of MAGA that have declared which Americans are an endangered species. Here's the basic bitch manscaping head of the Make America Ruled by a Dictator campaign, Jeff Durbin, saying what should happen to a woman who gets an abortion.
Abortion should be considered a crime. It should be considered murder. You're unjustly taking the life of a human being, and so that's murder. You forfeit your right to live.
Or she is deciding her own destiny, and you just can't have that. And like Mikey said from the safety of the plantation porch, some people just need to be killed. Am I right? And here comes incel fashionista for the White Reich, Jeff, calling out women who should be killed because they got an abortion. Because the overbronzed gourd once said, if you don't remember, on live national television during a CNN town hall back in 2016.
What should the law be on abortion? Well, what crime is it?
Well, it's human life.
No, should the woman be punished for having an abortion?
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. Are you going to say put them in jail? Is that what I'm asking you about?
Because you say you want to ban it.
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah. Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, it has to be some form.
And there you have it, folks, from Orange Felonious himself. Yes, some form of punishment for women getting an abortion. Is it to kill them? I don't know. Is it to put them away for 10, 20, 30 years? I don't know that either. But I know that all of this is starting to make sense to me. Are you getting it yet? These made-in-China flag-waving, driving a jacked-up truck because their penis is three sizes too small, compensating Kevins want to kill people, starting with women who exercise bodily autonomy and anyone who stands in the way of the Tangerine Palpatine's coronation next January. People like former Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
Well, Donald Trump, Peter Baker, is expressing support for holding televised military tribunals against former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. The former president reposted this image on his Truth Social account on Sunday. It reads, quote, Liz Cheney is guilty of treason. Re-truth if you want televised military tribunals. In response, Cheney wrote on X, quote, Donald is... This is the type of thing that demonstrates yet again that you are not a stable adult and you are not fit for office.
He will find a Secretary of Defense that comes up with some justification for a military tribunal that somehow Liz Cheney is subjected to and go forward with it.
When he says his new term in office would be about retribution, when he says that Liz Cheney should be put on a military trial, I think you have to assume that he's serious about that.
And in the words of another outspoken woman, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. They know themselves better than you do. Killing and punishing a woman is on the table for Project 2025, along with removing a woman's ability to exist outside of a marriage to a man. Christian nationalism's crown jewel is the nuclear family of the 1950s. A time when women had no choice but to stay in abusive marriages because they couldn't afford to leave. And as far as the family, these Jesus freaks have a specific idea of what that means. Of course, a man and only a woman raising their biologically produced children without the help of a petri dish. And that's it. Single mothers should be punished for not having husbands, and step-parents are considered an affront to the nuclear family's very existence. And putting aside the hilarious fact that liberals do own guns, let's not forget, quite a few of the members of Meal Team 6 that stormed the Capitol were armed that day. We know this because those pistol-packing, shit-smearing J6ers were charged with possession of a firearm, along with throwing an insurrection and building a gallows to prevent the pastiest veep, Mike the Dick Pence, from certifying the 2020 election count. But do you know what? None of that matters. Thanks to the supremacist SCOTUS, recent contribution to the Heritage Foundation's Second Confederacy.
Supreme Court just ruled in favor of one of the rioters on January 6 over a charge of obstruction of an official proceeding.
A defendant in one of the January 6 cases who has been charged with a federal obstruction related statute. He wanted the narrowest possible interpretation of that statute so that his conduct wouldn't be covered. The High Court, in a divided opinion, has sided with Mr. Fisher, narrowing the statute.
The High Court decided its use must include proof that defendants tried to tamper with or destroy documents. Only some of the people who violently attacked the Capitol fall into that category.
The majority is saying here is it can't just be walking in and engaging in a riot that stops either a Supreme Court proceeding or a city council meeting, or in this case, the counting of Electoral College votes. That it has to be tied to some sort of document destruction.
The ruling could impact some 300 of those cases, including 50 already adjudicated.
So you're telling me there's still a chance that now that the Confederacy courts just made those dumb motherfuckers who showed up on January 6th free to walk about, they will, I don't know, bump stock out their AR-15s just in time for Trump's last stand? Cool, cool, cool. But I'm just curious. How did the Heritage Foundation's sponsored gestures come to this democracy-destroying conclusion.
The conservative justices on the Supreme Court were sharply skeptical of the way the Department of Justice has been using a felony obstruction law that was written to address financial crimes, but has been used more than 300 times to prosecute January 6 defendants, including Donald Trump.
The court's conservative majority appeared sympathetic to the police officer's case.
Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address, would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
The court's liberal members focused on the plain text, which makes it a crime to obstruct, influence, or impede any official proceeding.
There are ways, multiple ways, in which the drafters could have made it clear that they intended to also operate only in the sphere of evidence spoliation. But it doesn't do that.
Oh, you can always count on Justice Sotomayor to make a really good point. And that is that the law used to prosecute the shit-smearing patronauts does not require evidence that the documents in question have been tampered with, as long as an official act was impeded. Kind of like how Congress mandatorily gathered at the Capitol to watch a very white man comfortable in a room full of other women, because his wife was there too, present the certified votes from all 50 states in 2024. A literal depiction of an official act. But thanks to all those tips from Christian nationalists Jester Alito and Thomas have been enjoying, Congress's constitutionally mandated appearance at the vote certification of election results was not an official act. And if you thought that decision was totally white trash, wait until you hear about what these legal eagles came up with when it comes to presidential immunity.
An opinion from Chief Justice John Roberts finding that former presidents are entitled to absolute immunity for official acts, but not for unofficial acts. What this means is that the former president cannot be prosecuted for anything that was officially part of his job when he was in office. In the 6-3 opinion, Chief Justice John Roberts writing for the majority, at least with respect to the president's exercise of his core constitutional powers, this immunity must be absolute. The president enjoys no immunity for his unofficial acts, and not everything the president does is official.
And now the lower courts must decide which acts are official, which are not, which means that Trump's January 6 case is unlikely to happen before November's election, if at all.
Oh, well, isn't that convenient? And coming from the if the Constitution doesn't say it, it's not a right side of the court, who recently used that excuse to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I've got news for you, accepting tips for ruling jesters. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that a president has absolute immunity for anything. In fact, it's the opposite, which is why we have that whole part in Article 2, Section 4 about impeachment for bribery, treason, as well as the high crimes and misdemeanors everybody likes to talk about. You know that that is why Nixon resigned as president in 1974 over the Watergate scandal, because he knew he could be charged with criminal actions he took as president. But you know, if only he had held on to the presidency for another 50 years, he could have been absolved of his crimes thanks to the six Heritage Foundation pick supremacists who are now re-ruling our nation into Republican Jesus' image. And I love how, once again, these robed stands for nationalism have kicked the what is an official act can down to the states, because we all know states have rights. Like the right to use bill templates provided by the Heritage Foundation to make it easier for Republicans to outlaw abortion and defund school lunch programs and reappropriate taxpayer funds to private Christian schools. Anything for the children under his eye. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media, wherever you can find us, and we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Amazon Music, basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.